The Tin Cup Brigade, composed of municipal leaders all over the state, made their voices heard last week at the legislative hearing on the local government portion of the governor's budget proposal. And to take the temperature of New York's counties, we're joined once again by Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, a Republican and former member of the State Assembly. Welcome back to the show, County Executive.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
So the budget includes a measure that diverts some sales tax revenue and sends it toward distressed hospitals. How much money does that cost the state's counties, and what do you think of this diversion?
Well, obviously, we oppose it. It's several hundred million statewide. For my county, it's about $1.2 million in sales tax that, by the way, we collect from folks who, of course, spend dollars in our community, and we distribute to the towns, villages, and cities. And we would call it a distressed municipality fund. That's what we use it for. In this case, though, it's the first time in history, in fact, the state of New York has taken local revenue and redirected it basically to private enterprise. And so we opposed it when the governor proposed it and the state legislature approved it. But what's really critical to know today is twofold. One, the state doesn't yet have a plan to distribute those dollars to distressed hospitals. And most of the counties across the state don't have a distressed hospital within their community. So the state at the moment is taking those dollars and just leaving them in their bank account. We assume to some degree to use for cash flow purposes. But the second is after the federal government's first couple of relief packages, in particular the CARES Act, you know, hospitals across the state of New York, I think, secured something in the neighborhood of $8 or $10 billion in federal aid. If there was a year that those hospitals didn't need, Chemung County, Nassau County, or Dutchess County's sales tax, it would be this year. So we've said to them, at least pause for 1 year so that we can get back on our feet, start to see that revenue generated, and we'll debate the issue later. Now, we will likely still oppose it, but under the current circumstances, there's zero reason for the state to take those dollars and redirect them, ultimately, we think, to hospitals that are not likely within our borders.
Community colleges are funded by a mix of state, county, and tuition dollars. In the past, the state has tried to shirk its responsibility, repeatedly lowering its percentage of support. What's going on with this funding this year?
So it's not as bad as in the past, but we still have that particular issue. So the state, the relationship is basically a third county sponsor, a third tuition, a third of the state. The state has not lived up to its one-third commitment. And instead, what they've done over the years is transition to a per pupil, a per student revenue stream. That we don't think, well, one, it's not in keeping with the intent of the law, because, again, it flows with student population. So they're making some of the same adjustments again, and we expect that it looks, the moment, that the state's reducing its commitment overall. But they'll argue they're not changing their per pupil commitment. So at the end of the day, it means that counties and students are paying more for community colleges, by the way, at a time where that just isn't a good idea, right? These colleges have to make investments to transition with technology, because they're going to continue to work from these hybrid models. At the same time, as you want to enter or re-enter the workforce, you know, the community college is the most effective way to get folks into that secondary education that they're going to need in order to compete in a marketplace and an economy that frankly is going to struggle along for a while.
There's language in the budget that extends authorization for counties to piggyback on purchasing contracts through June of 2023. This type of thing is always promoted by the governor as a big deal, but I'm curious, you know, as someone who might actually be responsible for implementing some of these contracts, in practice, do counties use this sort of authority, and is it a big deal?
Well, in this one, we agree. It is a relatively big deal. In particular, when we can coordinate healthcare purchasing. The ability for counties across the state to magnify their purchasing power has produced a savings. And I'll say this: we have dealt with worse state budgets, and we certainly have dealt with worse state budgets from this administration. This particular budget, this budget proposal, is not the most challenging we've had to confront. And it's because there are a couple of these smaller items for the state, but relatively beneficial to us, a little bit in the weeds for the average voter and resident. But we have counties that have been looking at piggybacking on Medicare health insurance for retirees. We have communities, counties during this pandemic that have piggybacked on purchases all across the state on for everything from PPE to testing supplies. We did this relationship last year for school bus cameras. So all of that degree of flexibility is helpful to us, and we embrace it. But obviously, there are other items in the budget that we hope the state legislature will consider, and again, the distressed hospital fund being chief among them.
Well, when it comes to this purchasing, the power is only granted through 2023. Is there a reason why it should only be temporarily extended and not just a permanent piece of state law?
Well, only so that they could have us come with 10 cups to Albany. But no, the short answer is there is no reason. It should be made permanent. The basic understanding in state law is if one community can do something or one local government can do something independently, it should be able to do it collectively. And so there is no reason other than you want us to come ask and or you wanted, obviously, vendors to be able to, price against one another. What one community would have to get might be priced out by another community. But it's not something that's necessarily logical. And frankly, I'll say this. The last 12 months, county governments have worked together probably more closely than ever before. And frankly, that kind of flexibility, along with a little bit of that shared services relief, assuming the state commits to that, really will go a long way to assisting us in getting our jobs done, but also provide us at least a modest amount of financial relief, although there's not a lot of that to speak of.
We're discussing the governor's budget proposal and what it means for New York's counties, and our guest is Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro. Well, looking back at the current fiscal year, which ends March 31st, has the state withheld any aid that normally would go to counties, and is there any indication whether that money is going to be restored prior to the end of the fiscal year?
Well, the state and the governor rolled the dice. They were banking in 2020 on federal relief. That didn't happen. In fact, this. I mean, they balanced the budget with to-be-determined revenues, assuming that the federal government would bail it out. So in 2020, and of course, our fiscal years begin January. The state doesn't begin in April. But yes, the state withheld anywhere between 5% and 15% local aid, depending on the program. I mean, we have countless programs that we're mandated. To kind of administer on behalf of the state. They, in some cases, the state provides us a degree of revenue. In most cases, that revenue has been withheld between 5 and 15%. The governor's 2020-21 budget suggests currently that we should prepare for a 5% permanent reduction in most funding streams. That's even with the expectation that the federal government be providing some dollars. But there's really no reason for that. I mean, every county across the state of New York took important steps to constrict spending to the extent they could. In my own county, we eliminated almost 8% of our workforce. We did it through early retirement. We're holding positions. That saved us some $8, $9 million. That helped us along with a reserve account, our fund balance. Of course, Albany didn't prepare for the rainy day, but counties did. We're nearly there as we come into 2021. We need the federal aid to offset some of the sales tax revenue and the new expenses, but we made tough choices. The state needs to make those choices too and not shift simply the burden onto someone else. And when you hear the governor speak, it is always about, if we don't get federal aid, it's going to hurt the schools and the hospitals and the local governments. You don't often hear him say it's going to hurt us, the state of New York. So we would just ask that you focus internally on those reductions, early retirement incentives, shrinking the workforce, some efficiency steps, that you could shave a few billion dollars out of that state budget pretty effectively. And then we hope, of course, that the federal government comes through with what at least they're talking about for state and local aid. And I offer this caveat, and I think it's important. The governor's putting a lot of pressure on the federal delegation to be sure that every federal dollar of aid comes through Albany. That would be a mistake. It would centralize control, power, and finances in a place that, quite frankly, abuses control, power, and finance. We need to get local aid to local communities. We are the most, county governments, the most effective in getting those dollars on the ground and into the hands of vendors, job creators, construction companies, and offsetting, of course, our own losses by protecting 911 dispatchers and sheriff's deputies and probation officers in response to child abuse and so on. So we're pushing back on that argument.
Some details have begun to emerge about this next stimulus plan that's being debated in Congress right now. And, you know, there's an indication about what the state's share might be and what the local governments, whether it's counties or cities, might be able to get. Any indication, say, what that would mean at this point for Dutchess County?
It looks like the current estimate is approximately $40 million over 2 years, mm-hmm. which, you know, by the way, would come close to assisting us in overcoming the revenue losses, the capital projects that were deferred, in some community, you know, in some larger expenses that are not likely to be covered by FEMA reimbursement. We think that what Senator Schumer has pushed for is exceptionally good for us. It puts us in good standing. It doesn't overcome every dollar of loss, but no one should expect that. The issue at the moment is, you know, will Congress have now with this single party majority, will have the political will to do it? And secondly, the governor's got to lay off. He's got to stop making the argument that local government aid needs to come through him. That he basically says it. You know, we fund everything. Well, you don't. 70% of my budget is dictated by Albany, and not all of that is paid for by him. So I wouldn't have property taxes if it were paid for by him. So we really appreciate Senator Schumer's real steadfast opposition to the governor's push, and we need elected officials across the country to recognize that. And, you know, in some states, perhaps they have a governor who isn't going to control every cent. But keep in mind, most states, when they received the first round of CARES Act dollars, they reappropriated, they shared some of those monies with communities, in particular under 500,000 population. This state is one of only a handful that did not and centralized a lot of the expense and centralized a lot of the revenue. And that's caused a lot of conflict, a lot of complication, and really unnecessarily is hamstringing local governments and putting burden on local resources. That can't happen. And we think the direct aid that Washington is considering now, and what Senator Schumer has been pushing for, is really in everyone's best interest. The state will get its fair share and then some, and then local governments would get direct assistance. And we believe that's necessary and appropriate.
Are you concerned at all, though, that if the federal government does deliver you money directly, then that the state budget might find some way to penalize you for that money and say, take away state pools of funding and saying, see, because you're getting this federal money, you don't need, you know, money from Albany?
Well, it's not mathematically necessary. The state is likely to get something in the neighborhood of $13 billion against what the governor projects as a $15 billion hole, which isn't accurate. I mean,
right.
there's no way they're staring at a $15 billion deficit. I mean, the short answer is it's not mathematically necessary, but we've learned that anytime the governor can extract a degree of pain from someone else, he's willing to do it. And so we're worried about that. We're grateful that Senator Schumer's pushing. We'd want to be sure, and I know the Problem Solvers Caucus in Congress, Tom Reed and others have been pushing for this, basically a hold harmless, a maintenance of effort concept, where if you're getting the federal dollars, the state can't just take away a dollar someplace else. And we're not asking for that. I mean, we at the end of the day, if the state needs to make a little bit of contraction, as we've talked about, we'll live with that. But don't punish local governments because they're receiving the same assistance that the state's getting. That's just lunacy. But it is not beyond this governor or this administration to do that.
We've been speaking with Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro. Mark, thank you so much for making the time. Really appreciate it.
No, absolutely. Be well. Stay safe.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.